Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Ketanji nomination hearings. Why I think the Republicans are handling this hearing perfectly so far. Trouble for Biden that not even the thick clouds of the smoke of war can hide. A Ukraine update followed by exposure of what moves in the smoke. Hunter's laptop revelations by liberal media suggests an indictment is forthcoming. What does this mean to Dirty Murphy Biden, a.k.a. the big guy? Right behind the laptop revelations is coming the first major release of Durham information in lately unclassified documents, forcing into public view what we have all known all along. The Russian collusion hoax originated with Hillary and her campaign operatives. Trump is suing, by the way. Good for him. And by the way, no, Trump should not forgive Daniel's debt. A mask and vaccine update. Hope to get to that. A bombshell report proving Dominion voting machines. They create machines designed to steal elections. It's a complex report, but I'll try to offer an easily understandable summary for you. And what does Kamala's message regarding the significance of the passage of time really mean? Okay, my friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
You know, I have to wonder about Biden's pick for the Supreme Court. It is certainly not owing to her competence in the application of law to her rulings. I mean, you can just listen to her talking to these senators and get the feeling that she's really not really up to speed here. You say it's because she's black? Well, I don't think so. Remember how mean and nasty Biden was toward Clarence Thomas, a well-respected black judge nominated to the Supreme Court? Biden finally declared the reason he opposed Thomas was because he was a black conservative, who, by the way, has become mysteriously ill and in hospital at present, with no clearly stated expectation to be released. Very concerning. Please pray. I think it's suspiciously timed, and it goes to the significance of the passage of time that I'll mention at the end of the show today. Biden's handlers are using a hurry-up offense to get the court swung back to a Marxist majority before Biden is bidden adieu. They know they have but a short time. You say no. It's because he's black and a woman. Oh, I see. Well, then he should have been very happy to support Janice Rogers Brown, right? But do you remember the Honorable Janice Rogers Brown and how she was treated by Biden? An accomplished black female judge that Biden viciously attacked in his opposition to her nomination to the D.C. Circuit Court. His nastiness was on full display. Man, he can be nasty. And he filibustered her nomination in a full court opposition to her appointment. All of this is well remembered by moi, and I hope by you. Don't forget. And he had zero reason to oppose her, except one. She was a black female conservative. So Biden nominated Ketanji not because she's black or female, but because of her record as a liberal judge, especially her ability to go easy on pedos, like that weirdo child hair sniffer in chief president of ours, well, so-called, president in name only, facilitating the realization of the dreams of Obama's father to transform America into a third world dictatorship. So he likes her ability to go easy on pedos and how she's so clever at exercising some strange and convoluted reading of the law in order to block Trump's immigration policy. Remember that? A ruling that was, by the way, overturned by the higher court. So it does not appear that Ketanji Jackson Brown would be so rude to Biden as, well, as Jeff Sessions was. Did you ever hear about this one? Sessions swatted Biden's hands away when that creep tried to do a Biden sniff on his granddaughter's hair. But Ketanji, well, she can be expected to be understanding when Biden sets his hand on the waist of a young girl, making her uncomfortable, and then leans in to sniff her hair. You know, it makes sense. Perhaps Biden desires to reward Ketanji's lifetime work of minimizing the offense of pedophilia by gaveling the lowest possible sentencing for these offenders. Well below what is provided for in the federal sentencing guidelines, believing, as she revealed during Graham's examination, that the federally mandated sentencing enhancements for use of computers and multiple offenses should not be applied. Because, you know, she's real sophisticated and devilishly smart. As she slithers around the law, sniffing out loopholes to protect pedos, deciding these sentencing enhancements are outdated. That's her opinion. And there you go. Judicial activism on display. She decides congressional law is outdated and so rules according to her own discretion. So let's grant for a moment her discretion, her prerogative in sentencing according to her own judgment, right? Well, apparently, her own judgment is really soft on pedos. As soft as possible in her sentencing of perverts who exploit children to feed their demented desires and perverted pleasures. So, Ketanji, have it your way. You exercise the latitude in sentencing that you assume is your prerogative as a judge, and in every single pedo case you ever ruled on, you rendered the least sentence possible. So, don't tell us, I sent every one of these guys to jail. Ah, you phony. The fact is, you only did that because you had to. The fact is, in virtually every pedo case brought before her bench, she elected to go as light in her sentencing as the law would allow, and in some cases dismissed the provisions available to her for sentence enhancements because they were part of the case. Why? Well, because she considered those outdated. That, my friend, is the epitome of judicial activism. Furthermore, Graham presented in writing large enough for all in the chamber to read, including Ketanji, the law that Congress passed giving the U.S. Attorney General sole and unchangeable or unquestionable discretion in the application of provisions in law to deport illegals present in this country 24 months or less. Trump wanted them deported. And when the case got before her, well, she ruled against the Trump administration and denied to them the sole and unchallengeable discretion Congress had provided to the Attorney General. Well, she was overturned by the D.C. Court of Appeals in language that provided a firm reproof against her outrageous refusal to rule according to law. The higher court said, in effect, it's impossible to imagine a more straightforward and clear statement of intent and law from the Congress. Ketanji ignored the law and ruled according to her personal prejudice in the matter. Well, they vacated her judgment. Graham presented this as Exhibit A, proving Ketanji has practiced judicial activism and so can be expected to do likewise on the Supreme Court if appointed. What does it mean that Ketanji doesn't have a judicial philosophy? Every judge has a judicial philosophy. And her sophistry about ruling according to method is as if she's above having a philosophy or being guided or governed by one. And then outlining a procedure that is like so academic and silly, every judge follows it. In other words, she said nothing. When Ketanji says she does not have a judicial philosophy, she's telling us, effectively, there are no rules, there is no ideal, there are no parameters within which she reasons to conclusions in any case. Such a jurist is wide open to flipping, flopping, and like the proverbial loose cannon rolling all over the ship deck, you know, blasting holes in our own ship. She's a disaster. If she has no judicial philosophy, well, she's an empty-headed, vapid soul with no compass that points her to anything that she would call a true north. Nothing to guide her. No governance at all. Just do whatever is satisfying to the whim of the moment. But the truth is, we have already seen how the wheel of her compass turns, soft on perverts exploiting our children, and ready to do the bidding of Trump-hating Democrats, even if it means violating her oath to office by trampling on the Constitution Yeah. To flagrantly ignore constitutionally enacted legislation is a clear violation of her oath to uphold the Constitution and follow law. Now, allow me for a moment to comment on the Republicans' handling of this nomination, I must say. I was sick to my stomach going into this with all the promises to Jackson and to the Democrats. Don't worry, we're not going to treat you like the Democrats treated conservative nominees. We're not going to do what you guys did. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Aristo Country Club Republicans bending over to show how above the mudslinging devils they are, and then just give the Democrats everything they want. They've done this over and over and over again. You know, let me show you how it's done. Watch us now. We respect the right of the president to nominate Supreme Court replacement. So, you know, we're going to show you how big we are. We won't bother you with questions about your judicial philosophy. And we're not going to make any assessments regarding your past rulings. We will look only at what a nice person you are. You're real friendly. And that you have gone to a reputable school and have at least a modicum of experience in law. And of course, I would be appalled if our side employed the tactics of the devils on the left. I would not have us pull on Ketanji, you know, a Clarence Thomas, a Janice Rogers, or a Kavanaugh, or Barrett, or the disgusting manner in which they establish a new verb in the English dictionary to bork someone. I was here for all of that, my friend. My own loathing for these people is exceeded only by the loathing God has for them. These foul and wicked people, they're all liars, and they revel in their lies and their ability to destroy. I mean, they're like Gollum, fixated on the ring of power till their lust for power consumes away their conscience. You know, like a moth eats holes in a woolen coat, their greedy lust for power eats holes in their worthless souls. Nothing can excuse them for what they have done to Kavanaugh, to Bork, to Barrett, to Thomas. Their judgment is past due. The specter of frowning justice stalks their vile souls. If they have any conscience, they are sensible of it. And if God has mercy and allows them to face her grip in this life, perhaps they'll have a moment of clarity in which they can repent to prepare to meet their Maker. Else when facing the divine arbiter, where they will be judged by the divine standard and have no advocate there to find a loophole in his justice, they will writhe in the fires of hell, awaiting their final disposition in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, the second and final death, where their worm never dies and the fire that torments them is never quenched. And some say, oh, well, fire brimstone preachers. Yeah, you're right about that, fella. And you say, well, I don't believe in all that. Okay, friend. While it's true that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, well, then in that case, you effectively, well, we could say disappear your hope of heaven. But you cannot, by mere disbelief, disappear your destiny in hell. I appreciate how the Republicans are handling this nominee. No false railing accusations, no made-up allegations, just, you know, straightforward examination of her record as evidence of what sort of Supreme Court justice she would be. Hold on through the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America, too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Trouble for Biden that not even the thick smoke of war can hide. And one note on the visit Biden had with Zelensky. Did you notice how firm he was, how together he looked, how suddenly focused he became? A friend, they're either massively doping that dude, or it's as I've said, the bungling Biden bit is somewhat of an act, providing an excuse, or at least a distraction from his actions, so that they can be called bungling and ineptness instead of what they are, betrayal and treason. And it's easier to dismiss his awful bungling of the Afghanistan withdrawal as evidence of cognitive decline than to just see it for what it really is, treason and betrayal. Easier to divert attention from his utter failure in domestic economic policies if he filled your tank today. Well, now we're in virtual war with Russia, something we didn't have to deal with Trump, remember? Rather than just face the fact that we're being betrayed by the Biden crime family and those whose hands are working their agenda through his otherwise empty suit. So what's coming? What's going on in the fog? Hunter's laptop revelations by liberal media suggests an indictment is forthcoming. What does that mean to Dirty Murphy Biden, a.k.a. the big guy, Peter Schweitzer, president of the Government Accountability Institute and senior editor for Breitbart News, was a fellow at the Hoover Institution of War, Revolution, and Peace, a conservative public policy and research institution promoting personal and economic liberty, free enterprise, and limited government. Well, he has something to say about the grand jury panel to form an indictment against Hunter Biden with evidence gathered from his fully authenticated laptop, Peter says, and I totally agree. The fact that Washington Times, who adamantly insisted repeatedly that the laptop was fake, nothing more than Russian disinformation operation, now admits it was not Russian disinformation. It was for real, and the contents have been authenticated as belonging to Hunter Biden, and that can only mean the Biden crime family knows an indictment against Hunter Biden is imminent, and they're trying to do damage control. The article is an obvious attempt to spin the story in a way that will do several things. First, soften the landing for Democrats when the indictment comes down, admitting only as much as they have to. That's how they operate every time. They admit only as much as they're forced to, but never enough to give them any real trouble. Biden was indeed engaged in what some middle-class prudes would say is vile sexual practices and drug use. And, oh yeah, that bit about him not paying his taxes on some of his income. Bad boy. Slap his hand. He paid his taxes, so maybe they'll go easy on him. That's what that article was trying to set up. In other words, they were trying to do damage control. But consider, we told you all along the laptop was real and that it exposes the Biden crime family and what certainly amount to, well, high crimes and misdemeanors, you know, the type of things our founders said support a real impeachment. And serious jail time, too, by the way. I mean, you know, orange jumpsuit perp walking to the hooskow kind of thing. So now that they have admitted some of what we've been telling you was true, you can bet the rest is coming out soon. The Biden crime family is going to be exposed. Get ready for the rest of it. The contents of this laptop are about a whole lot more than sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The laptop contains information linking Hunter and Joey to massive money laundering schemes involving a Russian oligarch. And we are talking about multiple millions of dollars. It exposes the Biden crime family as selling influence with the U.S. government to foreign interests. Treason. And it shows that Joey Biden, that's Joe Biden, Pino, president in name only, thank you, Bongino, is the big guy referenced in those emails as getting his kickback payment from the filthy lucre enterprise of his son, Hunter. It shows Joe dipping into the profits generated from their illegal enterprise to pay his monthly bills, renovate his domicile, all while he was serving in government office. Totally illegal. The laptop includes emails and other documents that prove Hunter and Joe were both assets of the Chinese Communist Party enrolled in something they call, in China, elite capture. The elite capture program of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, bought, bribed, or bullied political assets into their control. And their criteria for recruitment, friend, was not that they would join the Communist Party or be a robot under the control of the CCP. That would actually make them less useful. The expression that Chinese communists use for the criteria for one of these assets is this: big help, little bad mouth. That's what it would translate into in English. In other words, these guys know a valuable asset in America has to appear to be against China, at least. Not too much, though. So if they don't badmouth China at least some, well, they'll be exposed as a communist sympathizer, an asset embedded in American government. So they allow and even encourage McConnell, Crenshaw, and some of these others to give face-saving little badmouth. against China from time to time. But of course, Swalwell, Feinstein, Pelosi, Schumer, and the list goes on for some pages with Kemp, etc. You can hardly name a politician today who isn't owned by Soros and or the Chinese Communist Party. The laptop shows Biden family received $31 million from four Chinese businessmen who are named in the laptop documents. And each one of these guys is connected at the highest levels of the Chinese Communist Party. Biden's crime organization involves all sorts of FARA violations. Now, FARA is the Foreign Agents Registration Act, requiring any American doing business in America on behalf of foreign governments to register their activities. Biden has been flitting about foreign governments, often on the taxpayer's dime, and then representing their interests here. But everyone knows that so long as the Democrats control the courts, the Congress, and their crowning jewel, the stolen White House, there will be no justice. They will never be exposed, not fully. Even if they are, nothing will be done about it. They'll never be brought to justice so long as they continue to hold power. And that is why truing the vote is so vital. That is why we must expose the Dominion election theft machines. Now, you notice in Arizona, they would begrudgingly yield up information demanded by those doing the audit. But one thing, they would never give up: the routers. Why? Because that's the smoking gun evidence, the proof. It's in the machines, my friend. Now, I'll need to move toward conclusion, so let's summarize what has happened so far in the case defending Tina Peters from political assassination attempt that's being made on her right now by the Colorado Secretary of State, Gruesome Grizzly Griswold. An abbreviated background will be necessary. Tina Peters, the Mesa County clerk at the time of the election, got word that Dominion was sending a team to perform an update, air quotes, on the Dominion machines that would wipe out any evidence of election manipulation by those machines. So she wisely secured a copy of the contents of the Dominion machines under her provenance. She presented these documents to forensic experts who were able to get the truth from them about how these machines are, designed to cheat elections. The evidence proves that an algorithm was either originally installed or then triggered by access through the internet, which they said doesn't happen, but now we know it does. So that algorithm that was either originally installed or injected into the software of the machines that was programmed to trigger a certain response if the election results tracked in a way unfavorable to the interests of whoever bought in. It could be Republicans, it could be Democrats. In this case, the Democrats. The algorithm then created, or the rhinos with them, the algorithm then created new databases within the machine and then copied data from the original databases into these new ones. It's not supposed to work that way. Furthermore, there's a feature that time and date stamps ballot images that are added to the machine. Now, when new databases are created, it is in order to redo some ballots to put them back in. All right? But you have to do that with the ballots. You've got to put them through the scanner. And the scanner is limited to scan 100 ballots per minute. But the records show that over 900 ballots were recorded as being scanned into the database, the new one, in a time span of only 47 seconds. Well, that's humanly impossible. Therefore, these ballots were copied to the new database digitally from within the machine and not manually through the scanner. Excuse me? Also, there is no way to connect a ballot that has been adjudicated with its original. And that was done on purpose. There's no doubt about it, which makes it impossible to verify that ballot. Finally, for the summary at least, the database did not have a feature that all databases have, providing for referential integrity. It won't take too much time to explain that. The feature makes it impossible to disconnect a connected record from one table to another. And there is one and only one rational explanation why a company so sophisticated as Dominion Voting Systems would provide a database that did not have this feature. And that is this: the Dominion machines are designed to steal elections. You've heard about fractionalized distribution of votes and all that kind of stuff. All of these things are features that have no business being in any kind of a voting machine, except in the case where you're creating a voting machine that's designed to cheat. Now, you can read the entire report here. I've got the link in these notes. Please understand that until we return to the people of America, the right to vote in a fair election free of these thieving Dominion machines, we can never get justice. The corruption will continue to grow and to destroy our republic until we are nothing but a third world dictatorship, slaves to the government. So, what does Kamala's message regarding the significance of the passage of time really mean? Inane and as stupid and as infantile as that appeared to be, I think it was a message. It means that the liars and the cheats know it's only a matter of time before they get totally exposed, and they've got to hurry up. The clock is ticking on them. However, every day, week, month, and year that passes with nothing being done about the election, nothing being done about these crimes, the longer these traitors get away with their treason, the longer Americans put up with being betrayed by this coup government, well, the more likely it will be that the people will just sit down and accept it. That, my friend, is the significance of the passage of time. And any within the sound of my voice who thinks God is okay with all of this is, well, very sadly mistaken and in for a soon-to-come rude awakening. The problem is so many who identify as Christians are looking at the treason of Biden and his ilk and agonizing over how Hillary and her team have gotten away with murder and the pedophiles get away with molesting children and the sex traffickers go on with their violation of human rights, and it makes us sick. But what we're not taking into consideration is this. First, these lovers of darkness are the ones doing all this, and these are creatures that only thrive in darkness. And we, my friend, are the light of the world. We have greatly dimmed the light, and in some spheres, we've turned it out completely. It continues to be the case that many Americans with a conscience, healthy enough to be disturbed by all this, still don't get it. You need to return to the house of God. Jesus said no man lights a candle and then puts it under a bushel. He puts it on a candlestick. Well, the candlestick represents the churches. If you are a candle and you've been lit by the giving of the Holy Ghost to you and you're a Christian, you need to be on a candlestick, my friend. You must, that will allow the light to shine so that it gives light to the whole house. Speak the word of truth into this darkness. Demand righteousness and judgment and justice. Speak up. Get engaged. Start by setting yourself before God in humble repentance. And that, my friend, is when God will intervene. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website at brainmassage.net. That's one word, brainmassage.net. Find the contact button. Send me an email. You can leave me a message on our listener response hotline. And that number is 805-314-2114. Again, that's 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to godswar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.